hard dirt, excitement. A lot of purists in this sport think that this is still the most exciting kind of automobile racing there is. And the guys who drive the fancy stuff on the paved strips around the world all agree. They love to come here and have themselves a good time and win some money. I'm Keith Jackson. Working with us today along pit road will be Chris Economaki, the editor and publisher of National Speed Sport News. The man sitting on the pole is Greg Well. He's a bit of a surprise in that he claimed that pole position because nobody really expected that he would be able to out-sprint the likes of Al Unser, Mario Andretti, and A.J. Foyt, and some of the other fellows who have a great deal of experience in sprint car and dirt track racing. But Greg Well is tough in the sprints and on the dirt, and he'll be tough here today. Everybody's going to be watching Mario Andretti. Mario trying to win his first national dirt championship ever. And he's got a problem because he's going to start with seven cylinders. He blew a piston in practice, and he's got a problem right off the beginning. Another fellow to watch is A.J. Foyt. A.J. has won this particular event, the Hoosier 100, six times. But Al Unser, driving car number two, starting outside on the front row. Al has won it three straight times. If Mario Andretti can finish sixth or better today, then he will win his first national dirt track championship, but he's got his work cut out for him. Well, the field is about ready to go, and here's the gentleman to get things rolling, Tony Holman.
Gentlemen, strike your
24 cars winding up for the 21st running of the Hoosier 100, famous old dirt track here at Indianapolis. At the State Fairground, on the front row, in red car number 22, it'll be Greg Weld. Outside on the front row, in car number two, Al Unser, a man who has won this race three consecutive times. Running back in row number two, Lee Koonsman and Johnny Parsons. And they're both going to keep their eye on that guy at number two because they know he's going to jump out in a hurry. In row number three, Arne Knepper and A.J. Foyt. And in row number four, it'll be Mario Andretti. Mario Andretti with a problem. Before he got in his car, Chris Economaki talked to him about the problem he has starting the race.
Moments before the start, Mario Andretti, leading for the 1973 Dirt Track Championship, discovered a problem. What is it, Mario?
Well, we burned a piston. The track was so beautiful and tacky, and we were really getting good bite. And the number four cylinder went, and now we're just going to have to start on seven cylinders.
Your partner Al Unser and Tom Bigelow can beat you for the championship. You'll be thinking of them in the race, I guess.
Yes, I'm thinking of them right now.
As the 24-car field moves around, heading for the start, a look at the point standings in the dirt competition. Mario Andretti with 400, Al Unser and Tom Bigelow each have 260. And the points awarded in this race, 200 for first, 160 for second, and 140 for third. So you can see if Mario Andretti doesn't get any points today, he could lose his opportunity to win the dirt title. And here we go racing. Greg Weld in red number 22 jumps into the lead. Al Unser is in second place. Lee Koonsman moves up into third. One of the most exciting things about this kind of automobile racing is the way they go through the turn. They'll go through sideways. And Mario Andretti stuttering along, having very little power coming off the turn. He told you, remember, he burned a piston. So he's going to be running under power all day and hoping he can go all the way.
Keith, it's not the kind of event that you can go in with 7/8 of your power.
Unser takes a run going into the turn at Greg Weld, but Weld fights him off and holds the lead.
Weld did a remarkable job qualifying. He came out last, and the track had gotten hard, and there's Unser trying underneath. Watch Weld on the outside. He likes it outside. He's a part-timer these days from Kansas City, runs his own business, and only races infrequently, which is why we're surprised to see him so far up front. Unser's got a much more powerful engine, it's an expensive four-cam Ford, while Wells' car is using a Chevy conversion, and what a race.
You would think as they go outside, get into the loose stuff, that you would lose traction, lose power, but that does not seem to be the case for Wells.
He likes it up there, Keith, and he's set up to ride outside, and as long as there's loose dirt up there, he's in good shape, but when that gets brushed off and the cushion is gone, then Unser, who's set up to run low on the hard pan, might have the advantage.
Greg Weld, number 22, has the lead. Al Unser is in second place. And we got a car out of control into the wall.
It's Jim McAleese. Look at the droids go wide to miss him. They're really talented pilots. It was an easy one. He's not hurt. Maybe, perhaps, he'll be able to get restarted. But meanwhile, the yellow flag comes out to slow down the field.
So the yellow is out, and the leader is Greg Weld. Al Unser is second. Lee Koonsman is third.
How quick the fire control people are there, Keith. Right on the job.
The caution flag is still out here at the Hoosier 100, so we have no change in the standings. Earlier today, I spent a few moments talking with Don Smith, the racing director here at the Indiana State Fairgrounds, who's involved in dirt racing both here in Indianapolis and over in Terre Haute. Don, this has got to be the place where the big boys get their kicks, where they can come out, race, and get paid for having fun.
I think so, Keith. I think these boys here, such as Andretti and Boyd and Al Unser and many of the others, come out here and they have a real enjoyable day.
Don, a lot of us feel that this is still one of the great moments in racing, dirt track racing. Yet you're having a little trouble getting other people in other sections of the country to keep it alive, aren't you?
Well, yes, of course. I think the glamour goes with the pavement and the money also. But to me, I'm not only a promoter, but I'm also a fan. And as a result, dirt track to me is it's the backbone of all racing. It's basically the same as it's always been.
Dirt track here in the Midwest, I guess, still just big.
Oh, yes, it is. Of course, sometimes when you have too much rain or too much sun, why, you get a little discouraged and you think, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a paved track today? But today, I think we're going to have a real great race.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
And looks like we've got the green, and here we go racing again. And as we come down from the green flag, it is Greg Weld in front, Al Unser in second, Lee Koonsman third, Johnny Parsons four, Arne Knepper five, and A.J. Ford is running in sixth place.
Well, Knepper and Parsons are two of the young lions on the USAC trail. Here's Unser really trying that inside road.
Al Unser driving that Ford Power dirt machine here. Got a great deal more power, I suppose, than Greg Weld. But so far, Weld's been able to hang on and beat him off each time he's faced the challenge. But keep an eye on Unser, because he's going to slip under him if he can just get him in the right posture.
Well, we've got Chevys in first, third, and fourth here, and that racing Ford lying second. Tremendous straightaway speed.
And Unser gets inside, and he's got the lead. Al Unser goes into first place.
There was Carl. Look at how wide he's going, and Weld isn't giving up.
Al got well up into the loose stuff and got sideways, but hung on, and you'll see as they come off these turns, that left front wheel very often will be up in the air.
Now, watch Unser. He's moving a little bit wider up into Weld's road. It's going to make it tougher for Weld to regain the lead.
A.J. Foyt, Arne Knepper, they've got a battle back there for fifth place. A.J. has been running in sixth, right behind Knepper, but that's the first real challenge A.J. has made to move up.
He's the number one on that tail, means he's a dirt track champion, and he has gone pointless so far this year in dirt track racing. He wants to get some points.
Just doesn't seem to have the... Whoa! Look out! He almost gets the wall.
That comes from trying just a wee bit too hard, Keith.
In the meantime, as Foyt and Knepper have their battle back in the pack, Al Unser is stretching his lead.
Al has changed his line just a little bit, Keith. He has moved higher and taking Greg Weld's road, so to speak, to make it tougher for Weld to get by him if he should get that close. Greg, the Kansas City youngster, in that Chevy engine, McIntyre, number 22, holding second, and Unser pulling away. That Ford has really got the steam. Bill Mellish, Sidney Parnelli Jones owns the car, and Charlie Tabucchi does the engines, and it's a fine piece of racing machinery. Incidentally, the specifications for these cars are exactly the same as for the Indianapolis 500. They use the same piece of paper to build them, and they look much different. Look at heavy traffic here.
Of course, that's going to be to the benefit of Al Unser. If he can get into that traffic and make some passes and put cars between him and Greg Weld, it's going to help, and he's starting the lapping process now. Look out. Is he going to try to go between them? Oh, he made
George
it.
George Schneider on the outside and Melcourt inside, and it's three abreast there for the moment. This tells you a little bit about the bravura that Al Unser displays when he wants to win.
It's called firewalling it, because he's really on it. Meantime, we've got a battle between Lee Koonsman and the black car number 12 and the red car number 22, Greg Weld, for second place.
He neared him going underneath, but he just had to back off because the car would have washed out inside of him.
Whoa! Well, they almost kissed there. You saw just a moment ago, and there you have a look at it. Al Unser, car number 2, lapping people now, and he just passed Mario Andretti. Remember, Andretti has got to finish 6th or better in order to lock up his first dirt track championship. Lee Koonsman now sticks up his hand, and he's pulling down inside. So Lee Koonsman, apparently, apparently in that fight for second place, has done something to his equipment.
That's right. He'll be coming into the pits, the hand up. He has had it. That's too bad. He was giving us a good race there with Well for second. See the white smoke coming out of the right-hand exhaust pipe, and he's slowing way down. That $31,000 engine looks like it's had it.
And as Mario Andretti slowly tools around, headed for the stop and the pits, out of the race, his chances for winning his first dirt title look very dim right now. It all depends, of course, on what happens to Al Unser and Tom Bigelow. Mario Andretti is out of the Hoosier 100. Al Unser continues to lead, driving at a heady pace and stretching his lead all the time. Running in second place right now is Greg Wells. Car number two, Al Unser, is the leader.
Unser going high in the turn to save his tires using the loose stuff.
We continue our coverage of the Hoosier 100 from the Indiana State Fairgrounds on dirt. I'm Keith Jackson along with Chris Economaki, just coming off a caution flag. The field bunched up some. Al Unser, having an easy ride, has a big lead, and we're racing again. Unser is the leader. Well, the second, and Johnny Person is running third. Mario Andretti is out of the race. Engine gave up on him. A.J. Foyt now becoming something of a story as he works his way through traffic.
Well, Foyt is taking advantage of the closely bunched cars, and it's really moving. Here he comes down low on the red number one. It's a lot easier to pass in traffic than it is picking up. Whoop! There's a Dodge. Easier to pass the wholesale the way AJ's trying to do than one at a time later on.
And that move is going to put him into fourth place as he gets by Arnie Knepper, car number three. So now it's Unser, Weld, Parsons, Foyt, and Knepper. Our numbers are 2, 22, 98, 1, and 3.
Here's AJ threading the needle again, Keith, going down low after coming through that whole pack of cars. He's on the move.
And Larry Dixon, car number 69, indicates he's through for the day as something has expired on his car.
Keith, that wiggling tells you it's a driveline problem, and that's ironic because this is the only car in the race with an independent front suspension. It's an experimental unit, and that didn't give any trouble, but rather the rear end did.
So the tow truck is on the racetrack now to pull Larry Dixon's car out of the way, and that brings out the caution flag, and everybody slows down. And it gives us a chance to spend some time with a remarkable young man, Merle Bettenhaus, who in an accident in Michigan in July of 1972 lost his right arm. Now, before the qualifying for the race, he showed us how he handles a race car. And just recently, he posted a win on the short track midget competition down in Johnson City, Tennessee. And as we watched, I asked Merle what it's like driving with one arm.
Well, the secret to driving any race car, whether you got one arm or two arm, is being able to relax when you go down a straightaway. And this is one thing that I really didn't do too well when I had two arms. But now that I've got one, I've got to relax. And it's something that's always conscious in my mind. And I do relax whenever chance I get, which is one thing nice about a mile track as compared to a quarter mile. You do have long straightaways and do have a chance to relax. Even though you run 110 mile an hour, the race car is made for that speed. And you can just more or less relax. As in my instance, my left arm, and hope to go 100 miles. I've never gone this long, but I think I can.
How much use do you actually get out of the artificial arm?
Well, I can use the arm going down the straightaway if I have to reach up and clean my shield on my helmet, or for some other reason. I have used it going straight as far as in the corner while I'm racing. 99% of it does come from my left side, and It's a lot better than I thought it was going to be, thinking about it for a year, waiting to get back in a race car.
You must have an ultimate goal.
Well, just to get back racing and hopefully to do it as good as I did before, maybe even better, and maybe I can show some people in this world that just because you're missing an arm doesn't mean you're handicapped. You're only handicapped if your head tells you you are, and I don't think I'm handicapped.
What about Indy? Do you want to run there?
Well, IndyCar's in the back of my mind, Keith, but I haven't set any goals for myself, and it's just something that if it works out well enough and I can get back into them, well, you know, I'll be a happy man, but if it turns out that I don't, well, it's just the way it's supposed to be, but I haven't given up yet.
Merle Bettenhausen, you're a big man. We admire you.
Thank you.
And it was a bulky engine that kept Merle Bettenhausen from qualifying for the race. His brother Gary there on the right with him did not qualify either. But the Bettenhausen boys are quite a story. Here at the Hoosier 100, the caution flag is still up. getting close to a restart for the race, and we'll have more action for you from Indianapolis in a moment. And as the green flag goes up and the field comes around the turn, Foyt and Parsons are very close together. Foyt trying to make a run at him.
You know, a dozen years ago, Foyt was racing Johnny's dad, who won the 1950 Indianapolis race. Look at them go, side by side. The youngster on the outside and the senior citizen down low.
Foyt number one, Parsons 98. Al Unser is the leader. Each time we've had a caution flag, the field is bunched up, but each time we've gotten the green, then Al Unser has enough power, he just goes sprinting away from the rest of the field.
I think Unser's mechanic set the car up for this type of racetrack, the kind of track that would be for the last half of the race. Hard, you can see the dirt is turning black. It's almost like a paved road, and what cushion is left is where a driver can hardly use it. Getting rough up there. Look at Greg Well having trouble. He wants to use the loose dirt, but the track has got potholes up there, and it's an awfully long way around.
Mario Andretti, long since out of the race. He's watching, hoping that he can win his first dirt track championship, but it looks pretty grim right now because Al Unser and Tom Bigelow each have a chance to claim the dirt title.
Here's Well still giving it the old college try, but that's a rough ride. He's getting in that number 22 Chevy.
Al Unser, Ford power, really screaming.
How smoothly that chassis goes through the bumps. It's a beautiful piece of machinery, that number two car.
Greg Well continues the chase there in red number 22 in second place. Relationship you see there as Unser just stretches his lead. He's really running a fine race today. Come off turn number four, slide toward the wall a little bit. Oh, look out. Well, Parsons both wobbling up there. That's second and third place. You know, before every race driver picks a place. Well, Greg Weld was quite a story. He was the last qualifier out. It's pretty hard to run very fast, but he won the pole position, and he qualified very high. Well, before the race started today, Chris Economaki asked Greg if he figured he could continue to run high during the race.
Not really, Chris. This means that's the way I qualified, and the way I race will be entirely different. It'll be, you have to run consistently in racing, and I can't run like I qualified consistently. There's no way. You kind of let it hang out when you qualify.
Well, you sure did. Have a good race.
Thank you.
Some pre-race comments from the man running in second place, Greg Weld of Kansas City, Missouri. Out in front, building the lead all the time, getting bigger and bigger with it, is Al Unser. He's just got tremendous power today, and he's driven a very smooth race.
Here comes A.J. Foyt out of the corner, a little bit high. Arnie Knepper right behind. Uh-oh, A.J. gets a bit ragged, and Knepper comes by on the inside for the position. Oh, Knepper's feeling young these days. He's 43, and he recently enrolled at Eastern Illinois University as a freshman.
Is that right?
I gotta believe, though, that there's something wrong with the setup on A.J. Foyt's car, because earlier it was performing much better than it is now. You know, today's race, Keith, is sanctioned by the United States Auto Club and is the finale of its Dirt Championship division, as opposed to its national championship division, which is highlighted by the Indy 500 every year. There's one race left in that series. It comes up on Saturday, the 3rd of November. It'll be the Phoenix 150 at Fast Track International Raceway in Phoenix. And everyone out there is looking for the return of Roger McCluskey, a homestater who has won the national championship.
And speaking of championship, Mario Andretti came into this race hoping to win his first dirt title, but he's long since been gone from the race. Al Unser has the big lead right now, and if Al hangs on to the lead and he wins the race, then he is going to win the dirt track championship, and he's won this race three consecutive times. That's quite a feat. And Greg Well in car number 22, second place, slowing down, headed toward defense, and Johnny Parsons Jr. in car number 98 moves up into second place, and Well comes to a stop, and that just about eliminates him from any chance of winning this race. You have a problem in automobile racing is who's who and where are they? How do you keep it straight? It's an interesting story. Let's go down to the start-finish line with Chris Economaki. He stands behind the scoring table.
So glamorous behind-the-scenes jobs in an automobile race is keeping score. Every car in today's race has a score at this table facing the start-finish line. Each score has a clipboard with a little counter on it. The counter is synchronized with the other 23 counters, and the numbers change every second. On a sheet of paper is 100 spaces, and each time that particular score's car comes by, the number that's on the counter is written in the square. Thus, the car is scored for the lap and timed to the nearest second. At the end of every 10 laps, the numbers are put down on a separate sheet of paper. The master scorer collects them to determine the position at the 10-lap interval. To back up any error that might take place, one of the gentlemen walking up and down the back serial scores, checks each car every time he comes by in case there might be a problem. When it's all over, it's supposed to come out right, and usually does.
The running order for the Hoosier 100 on dirt here at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, Al Unser, car number two. Big lead. About a third of a lap over Johnny Parsons Jr. in car number 98. And running in third place is Arne Knepper with A.J. Foyt in fourth. We've been talking about dirt track racing being fun. Chris Economaki put the question to Al Unser, two-time Indy winner. Asked him if it is a lot of fun.
Very much so, Chris. It's got to be, as far as I'm concerned, one of the thrilling, most thrilling rides that you can have. It all depends on the track conditions, on how deep you want to go in, and you can just give the car a great big toss, and when it hits the cushion, as we call a cushion, you can just bury your foot into the throttle, and it is a thrill, I'll tell you.
Which is harder, Al, racing on pavement or racing on dirt?
Chris, I don't think there is such a thing as something being harder than the other one, because at each racetrack, it's a different challenge than from one, you know. So you really can't say that dirt's harder or easier, or pavement is when the rear engine cars are harder or easier. It all depends on the day that you're racing and the conditions and how well your car is set and if you win the race or not.
Some pre-race comments of the leader, Al Unser. And we've got a battle now shaping up between Arne Knepper in car number three and A.J. Foyt in car number one. They're fighting over third place. Look how wide the groove has gotten. That dirt now begins to look like asphalt.
And A.J.'s sliding through it. You really broadside the corner.
Tom Bigelow is driving car number four. He has moved up into fifth place. Now, Tom Bigelow is an important figure here because he came into this race with 260 points and a win here. Well, he could win the dirt track championship.
That's right. He started ninth, and he's come a long way since the green flag.
Now, to establish some relationship here, Tom Bigelow and A.J. Foyt look around the track. You can see that Bigelow is on the move, and there's Foyt up in car number one. Red Will, the pole sitter who led the first 11 laps of the race, been out of it for some time. He's on pit road with Chris Economaki.
Greg, I see you're limping. What's the trouble?
The seatbelt pressed against my hip and made my hip go to sleep, and it doesn't hurt, it just goes to sleep.
What about the car?
Well, early in the race, my brakes went away, the brakes quit working, and if the only way they'll come back is if you quit using them, so I had to quit using the brakes.
Greg Well, the pole winner, out of the Hoosier lot.
Thank you, Chris. And A.J. Foyt on the racetrack has slowed down. Looks like A.J. has lost an engine. Something's gone wrong with his car. But the man who has won this race six times, great name in automobile racing, is coasting into the pits. And he probably is going to arrive there just a little bit grumpy, because he would like very much to have won this one again.
That's a double blow to A.J. He's the owner as well as the driver, and this marks the second Indianapolis winner to fall by the wayside in this Hoosier 100. And Al Unser doesn't have it all roses yet, Keith, because in the previous two dirt track races, he was leading but was unable to finish. In the first one, he ran out of fuel. These Ford engines use a lot of fuel, and the tanks are limited in capacity, and no one knows whether he can go 100 miles on one tank full of fuel. He hasn't done.
Here at the Indiana State Fairgrounds, the Hoosier 100. On dirt, it's Al Unser in car number two, maintaining his comfortable lead, trying to win the dirt championship in USAC racing. In second place, it is Johnny Parsons Jr., but he is well back of car number two. Al Unser just running and smooth and just singing. But we've got a scuffle now developing between Johnny Parsons Jr. and Arne Knepper for second place. Knepper driving car number three. That car in the middle of the action there is number 17, being driven by Dwayne Carter.
Carter, incidentally, Keith, is one of seven rookies in the race, and he and Joe Saldana, who started last, have moved into the top seven for impressive performances.
But as far as their relationship to the leader is concerned, they're a lap down. There's Knepper in car number three, moving up on Parsons, coming up on him, going to try to get him. Johnny's high, got loose, had a little traffic there with Carter in the middle of things, and Johnny Parsons Jr. almost kissed the wall.
There'll be a little family discussion tonight. Johnny Parsons Jr. is Dwayne Carter's half-brother.
They're liable to have a little talk at the supper table. And Knepper slowing down. Uh-oh. In that effort, the run he took at Johnny Parsons Jr., it looks like Arne Knepper spent something, and he's got to get out of it.
He's got his hand up, warning other drivers. He may be stopping.
So Tom Bigelow now in car number four will inherit third place. So the persistence of Mr. Bigelow begins to take on more and more meaning, especially if you realize that something should happen to Al Unser. Tom Bigelow could win the USAC Dirt Championship. Here's Knepper now turning toward the pits. And Bigelow goes by him to take over third place.
There's Knepper stopping. This Indiana Fair wild track has got to be a tough luck track for Arne Knepper. Last year he made a pit stop for fuel, and while the car was being refueled, the gas tank exploded, ripping a hole in the tail and seriously burning several of his crewmen, all of whom are back here today working again. There's Mel Cornett on the outside, number 36, and Al Unser sneaking by on the inside. Al never slows down. He picks his spots and does a beautiful job.
Heading toward the final moments of the Hoosier 100. Al Unser has led most of the race. He's got a big, comfortable lead. He's looking to win the USAC Dirt Track Championship, to win his fourth consecutive Hoosier 100 and win more than $12,000 in prize money. And, Chris, he's going to average better than 90 miles an hour.
If the fuel holds out, and Johnny Caples and the boys on the crew have done a magnificent job of giving him the perfect machine for this kind of racetrack.
Johnny Parsons in car number 98 is running in second place, and he's running along there with Dwayne Carter, who is a lap down to the leader. And in third place, it is Tom Bigelow. If Bigelow finishes in third place, the white flag now up for the leader, Al Unser. If Bigelow finishes in third place, he will finish in the total point standings tied with Mario Andretti for second place. So Al Unser now in the final lap. Heading into the back straight. Has good speed. He's at the point now where I think he could just coast in and win it. He has that big a lead over Johnny Parsons. He's leading by 15 seconds or so. Here it comes. Crowd is up roaring. The winner is Al Unser. Well, the two-time Indy winner wins his fourth here at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. The Hoosier 100, Johnny Parsons, is going to come on and finish in second place. And Parsons is 16 seconds behind Al Unser, and Tom Bigelow will come in third. Setting the rest of the field for you, Wayne Carter finishes fourth, Arne Knepper fifth, Joe Saldana sixth, Darrell Harrelson seventh, and Gary Ponzini eighth. Here comes Big Al, rolling down in front of pit road, stopping in front of the grandstand. Unstrap himself and crawl out, the USAC Dirt Champion, 91.625 miles an hour. Not a bad payday, better than 12. Well, it'll figure out about $12,130. Give or take a little change.
Hey, the new champion. Congratulations, Al. How come you came in so slowly?
Chris, I have no brakes whatsoever. There is absolutely not a sign of brake on this car.
Well, you did a mighty fine job. Did you have any trouble because of that out there?
No, it didn't happen until probably about the, I would say about the 80th lap or 75th lap around in there. And it just, I don't know what happened, but I have no brakes.
Al Unser, the new dirt track champion and winner of the Hoosier 100.
This is Keith Jackson along with Chris Economaki saying so long from Indianapolis, Indiana. This